In today's episode, find out how structure and systems can increase your productivity and creativity so you can grow your creative business.
Have you ever said to yourself, I don't have enough time?
I am so overwhelmed.
I need more clarity.
I don't know how to do this.
My to-do list is miles long.
I'm exhausted.
There's got to be a better way.
Hi there, I'm Brad.
And I'm Manette. Not only have we said all these things ourselves, but we've heard our community of creative entrepreneurs say them over and over again.
That's why we created the Structure and Flow podcast. I'm Structure.
And I'm Flow, and this is the Productivity Podcast for Creative Entrepreneurs.
We believe that doing more and working harder are not the solution to your productivity challenges.
We believe in more play, more fun, and more profit. Join us as we explore the interplay between structure and flow so that we can bring more grace and ease to your creative business. Hey, welcome to episode 94. This is the first official episode of the Structure and Flow podcast.
Nice.
Pretty darn exciting. I'm Dr. Manette Riordan, and along with my husband, Brad Dobson, we are the founders of the Path to Profit Academy, where we teach creative entrepreneurs how to make money.
Yep.
And in order to make money, you need some productivity. And yet, as creatives, I know that I really struggle with how to be more productive without feeling like I'm sacrificing flow.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
So,
all that, what she said.
All that, which is why our topic today on this episode is how structure and flow impact creativity and productivity. So if you listen to our last little brief, we're so excited, announcement of the change in focus for the podcast, we're thrilled to be going down this path where we're digging deep into both structure and flow.
Yeah. And you heard it in the title. You heard it in our intro. I'm Structure. She's Flow.
In case you didn't know that already.
That's not like Flow from the insurance ad.
Flow with a W.
That's right. Flow with a W. And we really want to be able to delve deeply into this stuff. And I thought it was important that we had this initial episode where we kind of break down specifically what we mean by structure and flow and what the context is in terms of productivity. So we got a couple of quotes today that I think are really relevant to this discussion. I was kind of excited because I thought they kind of nailed it.
And he found the quote. So
I'm proud of myself.
Excited.
Exactly. Okay. So two quotes today. You get a bonus quote. The first one is from Orson Welles. At least it's attributed to Orson Welles. The enemy of art is the absence of limitations. The enemy of art is the absence of limitations. And the second one I knew would be sexy for my wife because she's a big Rilke fan, from Rainer Maria Rilke. May what I do flow from me like a river, no forcing and no holding back, the way it is with children.
I do love that one.
Right. So we're going to talk about those limitations around art that actually improve it. We're going to talk about flow in terms of your best stuff flowing out of you like a river, which I think sounds great to most creatives. That flow state is where we want to be.
It is where we want to be, but we also know from building our own businesses as well as from helping hundreds and hundreds of creative entrepreneurs over the last 5 years that flow is awesome, but so is structure. And I don't know that I would have said that 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And I've learned that, as one of my mentors, Kendall Summerhawk, always used to say, systems liberate you. And that when you have the right systems and structure in place, you actually have more freedom and more opportunity to be in that flow state because you're letting go of some of the overwhelm, some of the repetitive tasks that perhaps you're wasting time on.
Or you're wasting brain energy redoing things.
Yeah, that you're doing over and over again. I'm laughing because we keep saying we're going to set up a recording studio. You can see we're in Brad's office today if you're watching us on YouTube instead of in Manette's studio. We keep saying and saying and saying we're going to set up a studio. And we must have wasted an hour today mucking around.
I don't know if that was a word you wanted. But
with microphones.
Yep.
And trying to get things set up. Because as you can see, also, we're using two microphones instead of one. We're trying to upgrade our sound. So not only are we rebranding and refocusing the theme and the content of the show, but we're also up-leveling what it is that we're doing and we want to bring you guys. And I'm saying that because one of our goals is always to be really transparent in what's happening inside of our own business and how that transparency can either make you laugh hilariously at our silliness or can help you realize that you're not alone on this path to creating more structure and flow in your own business.
Definitely. So let's dig in a little bit about what we mean, a little bit more specifically about what we're talking about in terms of structure and flow. So we believe that for creative entrepreneurs to be more productive, they need to spend more time in the box of business structure and business systems. I know that sounds horrible and icky for you creatives.
It's the box part. Can we just say spend more time in systems and structure and not have it be a box?
Well, it's those limitations.
Maybe it's a triangle or a circle.
It's those limitations that Orson Welles was talking about. And we want you to spend more time in creative flow, whether that's creativity in your business or creative play. More time in that. And you'll find that the structure, whether that's the structure of a great calendar or the structure of having blocks in your calendar associated with different things, it's easy to apply that structure both to creative play and your creative work.
So I think it'd be helpful if we maybe define some or set out some distinctions under structure, systems, and processes, because they're not the same thing. And you need all of them and they all serve different purposes. So I think of a structure like architecture, where it's your business model, it's your business plan, it's kind of the guideline. But structure to me is kind of the big picture. Can you maybe define the distinction between systems and processes?
I think they all are constraints. I think you can look at them all as constraints. Structure might be a larger model of your business, a model of your day or your workflow. Systems are individual, repeatable things that you can do, whether that's, you know, every Friday I get my transactions out of Wells Fargo and I ship them off to my accountant, or every time I write a blog post, I go through this checklist that ensures that I don't miss anything, or every time I record a podcast, I know that I need to unplug the phone and turn off the notifications on my phone. Those are systems.
Are they, or are they processes? So help me understand the distinction between a system and a process.
I don't make a distinction between
you the two. Don't make a distinction No. between the two. So I would think of systems can also be like software that we use to
tools
that we use to run things more effectively, like QuickBooks.
Sure.
And then a process is really that repeatable thing. Like we have a podcast process. You can see we have a little planning template that we use for the script for each of our episodes, or we have a step-by-step process for what our VA does with the episode once we get it recorded. So for me, there's a little bit of distinction between structure, systems, and processes, and they all have an important place.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we could... You've got me thinking now. I look at them all as constraints, limitations, and it's that box that I'm talking about that you need to work within to make sure that you do something right the second time, the third time, the fourth time. I think in a lot of cases, creative business owners will find themselves repeating a task, but they don't have a repeatable process or system in place that makes sure they do it right every time. And that's the type of thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, and I want to give you a little, because Brad said the word constraint a couple of times, I want to give you a fun reframe on the word constraint, because when I hear constraint or limitation or box, I'm like, ick, I don't want any of that. But there's actually a principle, a very common, well-known principle in the design industry called creative constraint. And what creative constraint says is that we actually are more creative when we're given a starting place. So for example, if you gave a child a crayon and a piece of paper and said, draw a picture, they might feel a little overwhelmed. Or as an adult, you might feel even more overwhelmed if I handed you a crayon and a piece of paper and said, draw a picture, which I do to my clients all the time, and they freak out. Or you might hand that same crayon and piece of paper to a child and say, using only a triangle and a circle, draw a human body.
Hmm.
right? That's the principle of the creative constraint.
Gotcha.
And the same is true inside of systems and processes. When you have creative constraints, you are able to be more creative because you know what the steps are to follow.
Yeah, and you're not spending processing time, decision time, you know, brain energy on those details that are the repeatable monkey work type of types of things.
And they go a lot faster. So once you, especially once you start building team, which is, if you've been listening to the Path to Profit podcast for the last year and a half or so, then you know we're a big fan of outsourcing, bringing on team, not feeling like you need to be doing this all by yourself. But the trick about team is that you have to be ready to tell them what to do.
Yep.
In fact, I was just talking to one of my clients and it's like, you know, you are the one that needs to say exactly what the timelines are and what needs to happen when and what the structure of that looks like and what the process is for getting it done. We have to train people.
And otherwise, you need to be prepared for a lot of mistakes and paying a lot extra for people doing monkey work all the time that they is just churn type of stuff.
And then you can also invite your team member to create the system and the process when they're in it, right? Because if they're the one doing the day-to-day work, they may be able to capture that and annotate it as they go along so that by the time they've done it a couple of times, they've actually perfected the process.
So I can tell Manette's starting to shut down on all this structure stuff. I think it's time to let her talk a little bit about creative flow.
I was just getting into talking about structure. Man, between you and Leonard Rehnquist, the president of Entreport, I've become such a fan of structure and systems. But I love this concept of flow as well. And it was actually the term flow was coined by a Czech guy whose last name I can't pronounce, Mikhail Madrula. That we'll put in the show notes. It was. I looked it up right before. That one.
Yeah.
And in 1975. So the concept has been around in positive psychology is this concept of flow or being in the zone. There's a lot of different names for it.
A flow state.
Mindfulness in Buddhism, in different spiritual traditions. There's absolutely this concept of meditation as a flow state. This is not a new concept. But as creatives know, it's when we're in this state that we do our best work. And I would also say it's like deep work, which we've talked about on the show before, is one of our absolute most favorite books of all time by Cal Newport. But it's finding that place where you are completely free of distractions and you're attuned and focused on the creative work at hand, whether that's writing, programming, taking pictures.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, you're not thinking. This is, you know, you hear it from sports guys. You know, they'll go through their whole career hoping for, you know, one 90-minute period where they spend the time not thinking and actually just relying on muscle memory and being in a flow state. And it's what Rilke was talking about in the quote, where it's flowing from him like a river, and it's flowing the way it is with children.
Yeah.
No baggage.
And not worrying about what anybody thinks.
Right.
Like there's nothing more fun. I love being at the grocery store. I don't know why I tend to notice it there. And there'll be a 8-year-old little girl or boy standing in line in front of me and they're just dancing and singing and moving around and they just are so careless and clueless if anybody else is watching, right? They could really care less. They're just totally in their flow moment. And it's such a beautiful thing to watch. Or if you've ever been watching people doing plein air painting and they're in that flow state and it doesn't matter if anyone around them is watching or noticing, they're in the moment. Or when I've been in the presence of really amazing, great speakers who are also in that impassioned flow state. I love Rilke's quote, it flows out of us, right? There's nothing holding us back, but we can set ourselves up for this with our systems. So one of the things Brad's been doing, and we have, I think in a few episodes, we're going to do a deep dive into talking about focus blocks. But you can set rules up for yourself and systems to make it easier to get into the flow state.
I have them on my desk in front of me.
So Brad has made actually little flashcards about the thing he sets himself up for to do the flow state. Mm-hmm. And I think I do it a little more organically, but I get my coffee, I go to the bathroom, I find something on Netflix to watch, I fill up my paint jars with water.
Oh, that's for play.
For creative state. Play flow state, but even for work. I fill up my coffee, I go to the
maybe not the Netflix part.
And maybe not the Netflix part. I turn off my email. I have fallen in love with the do not disturb button on my phone. I have it on my phone and I actually found it on my iPad. So nothing is binging and bonging in the background. So there's nothing to distract me but my own thoughts. And if I've done my research ahead of time for what I'm working on as well, I can distract myself for hours and hours doing research and avoiding actually writing. So what structures do you need to put in place so that when you show up to the canvas, to the blank screen, to the blank page, to
your musical instrument,
the camera, to the musical instrument, to a coaching session with a client, what do you need to do so that you can be totally in that flow state? And this is where that interplay between structure and flow is so powerful. And the more that you understand that they're both there to serve you, then we think the more productive you'll be and actually the more fulfilled you'll be. There'll be more grace and ease and there won't be this longing for uninterrupted creative time because you're planning for it. You're setting yourself up for it. And it gets you also over that hump that Stephen Pressfield talks about in The War of Art, of this inner resistance. You know, writers, I think more than any other creative, talk about how important it is to just show up at the page every single day.
Sure.
Right? And Stephen Pressfield, like I said, The War of Art is an amazing book on resistance and procrastination and dealing with your inner critic. Just well worth the read. And again, it's setting it up so that when you show up, you're ready to go.
Definitely.
Brad's writing that down.
Yeah. We need to remember that while we're putting in the show notes.
Putting in the show notes, yes.
So I guess just to wrap, our intent for this podcast is to focus on productivity and explore the balance of these concepts of structure and flow, the tension between them, how they can support each other, in your business, in your creative play, and how you can integrate them into your life and business. So sort of that intersection of those concepts, turning that into your productivity for your creative business.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's bringing more play. I mean, I love the word interplay because I do think it's interplay, intersection, interconnection. Mm-hmm. Your time is your own. Every single one of you that is listening to the Structure and Flow podcast is here because you want to get more done. At the end of the day, we all want to get more done, but we need to get more of the right work, more of our deep work, more of our most important work done that's going to move us forward in our business. And so we cannot tell you how excited we are to continue to dive really deeply into this topic over the next 100 episodes.
Absolutely. And we love your support and any opportunity that you get to give us a review. An honest review on iTunes is fantastic. We're running a contest. If you're listening to this in April 2018 at pathtoprofitacademy.com/contest, that'll be in the show notes. You can sign up there real quick. It'll show you exactly how to give us a review. We'd love you for it. And you have the opportunity to get some really cool swag. We got printed copies of the Artful Profit Planner and a wonderful mandala coloring book, all created in-house by us. You'll love them.
And our amazing son.
And our amazing son, Connor. In the next episode, we'll begin to delve into the unique productivity styles of creative business owners. Are you a commander, a contemplator, a conductor, or a creator?
We're all four.
Listen in to find out more. Thanks for listening to Structure and Flow, the productivity podcast for creative entrepreneurs. To find out more about this episode and others, go to pathtoprofitacademy.com and click on the podcast link.